which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. Now the passage is absolutely clear, and it bears out a thought. That thought is that there is only one gospel in this age. Hold on, man. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll read from verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Not make it. He didn't say make unity. Keep the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit is that that's proclaimed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God has baptized, the Spirit of God has baptized the believers into one body, and that is the unity. In other words, the Spirit has united all believers in one body. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now notice something. It's strange that the truth of verse 4, 5, and 6 would follow the idea of keeping the unity of the Spirit. In other words, it implies to me that an individual who preaches more than one of those things referred to in verse 4, 5, and 6 are causing division, not keeping the unity that is made by the Spirit. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. The oneness. Now, there's one gospel. Go back, please, to holding on to Galatians. Go to Romans. I look in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Romans 1:13 says, "Now I would not have you ignorant brethren that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some food among you, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." And by the way, I might mention to you that a barbarian is an individual that could not speak the Greek language. In other words, the word barbarian carries with it the idea of a failure to speak fluently certain languages. People think that a barbarian is somebody who, you know, can't walk through the woods without bumping into the trees, but that's not true. Every one of us in here are barbarians to some extent. That is, if we were in a foreign country, we'd have to get an interpreter probably before we could even order a meal at a restaurant or something. That's barbarous. All right, he said, "I'm debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." Verse 15, "So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach a gospel to you that are at Rome." Right? No, right, that's wrong. Verse 15, "So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel of Christ, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, that is as written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." That is, they hold back the truth. They hold down the truth. They cover up the truth in unrighteous preaching. How's that? We're talking about it in the Sunday school. They preach that if you be good, God will receive you. They preach if you keep the commandments, you go to heaven. They preach if you repent and be baptized for your remission of your sins and confess your sins daily, someday God will receive you. That is unrighteous preaching. Let me tell you right now, God would be unrighteous to receive anybody in this room that will not believe the gospel of Christ. God cannot righteously save anybody on the face of this earth outside the good news that Christ died for their sins. Why? The wages of sin is death, God said. Then if God can save you without somebody dying for you, he lied, and he's unrighteous. Therefore, the righteousness of God is God's ability to save you by you believing in his Son who died for you at Calvary. If you could get to heaven without that, if God would let you into heaven without that, he would be unrighteous to have killed his Son to die for the rest. It can never be, beloved. And those that preach that if you'll walk the aisle for Jesus, pray at the altar, repent of your sins, believe in Christ, be baptized for remission of sin, and keep the commandments, and someday hopefully be saved when God tries your good works against the bad, are preaching unrighteous, and anybody that believes that is unrighteous in their belief. And if that's you, then you're unrighteous in your belief. And an unrighteous individual cannot get into heaven. Why cannot individuals admit the real truth? Are you one of those that believes in keeping the commandments? Then look what God said about you. Turn, please, to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm talking to you about good news. That's the idea. I want to preach the gospel. The good news. It would not be good news to you if God told you that you have to keep the law to get to heaven. That is not good news. Why? He'd be telling you to do something you cannot do. You'd be crying, oh me, woe is me, instead of praise God, glory, hallelujah. You know what that tells me? That tells me that those people that go around, praise God, hallelujah, blessing God, hallelujah, glory to God, and on who say that they're keeping the law to get to heaven, don't know what the law said in the first place. How could I praise God and glorify God all the time if I knew what the law said to me? If I believed that I was doing that for the loss of me, you know, because God was going to receive me. Anybody that preaches unto you that you've got to do something to get to heaven, not preaching good news. That's bad news. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. There is no individual on the face of the earth today, from the Pope all the way through, that has a good conscience, that believes in keeping the law to get to heaven. You cannot keep the law and have a good conscience. You cannot keep the law without being conscious of your unworthiness and your filthiness and your and on and on and on. Why? Because the law is summed up in 5 points. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord God with all your heart, and you don't. Thou shalt love God with all your soul, and you don't. That's emotions. Thou shalt love God with all your mind and all your strength, and thy neighbor as thyself, and you don't. Therefore, you'd have a guilt complex all the time, and that's why preaching unto you is to keep you with a guilt complex so that you'll walk the aisle, pray at the altar, and they'll be able to count you over and over and over and over again. You cannot have a clear conscience while claiming keep the law. So now hold the phone, time out. Don't go away from here with some attitude now that Brother Moore is teaching you that it's all right to live in sin. Don't go and you're quoting Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, and say, well, Paul said, I'm carnal, sold unto sin. The good that I would, I find that I do not. The evil which I would do, I find that. Don't go with me and take solace in that. Say, well, it's all right for me to do it then. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is not saying, I'm praising God for the privilege that I'm carnal, sold. He's saying, I'm a miserable state. I'm in a miserable frame here. Who can deliver me from the body of this death? And on, he said, I'm carnal, sold unto sin. I'm not a good guy. I'm a bad guy. But he's not saying I'm proud and happy about this. He's saying I'm sorry about this. And you know what he's talking about? The context is the law. Romans chapter 7, verse 4, he said, I'm dead to the law through Jesus Christ. And he's showing you that under the law, I know sin. He said, I wouldn't know sin except the law had said, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And so in view of keeping the law, he said, I'm carnal, sold unto sin. The good that I would, that's told me to do in the law, I find that I cannot muster up. And the evil that the law tells me not to do, I find this old flesh of mine, that's what it wants to do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. And every individual that is under the law this morning is a wretched individual. And the Bible said they're cursed. The damnable system of religion today. Imagine it. Imagine all these famous preachers around the world today teaching people something that is bringing a curse upon those people and is called unrighteousness in the Scripture. And some of them may be your family. You see, part of my mind. I wish somebody would tell my family. I can't. I've tried. I wish somebody preached to my family so hard until they just cry. Just rip them up one side and down the other. Just lay them low. Well, I've had people say, Brother Moore, if what you're saying is true, then part of my family would be in hell. I don't believe that. My mom and my daddy were good people and all that. Folks, good people go to hell. You know that. Only the saved by the blood of Jesus Christ will ever get into heaven. Tell me about your brothers and sisters and your mamas and daddies that were good. The Bible said there are any that are good. The Bible said there's not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And your mama and your daddy weren't any good. Your grandma and your granddaddy weren't any good. Your children aren't any good. You aren't any good. Your grandchildren aren't any good. And you don't know anybody that's good. That's the way it is, folks. And I'm the worst of the whole lot. I could say, folks, if there's anything that I could say with Paul, and I could honestly say that's the way it is with me, I'm the chief of sinners. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6, from which some, from charity and a good conscience and faith, some having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law. I'm sorry, Timothy, what did I say?
First.
Y'all just weren't paying attention. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Remember we're talking about the God of this world? From which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. Vain jangling is literally, vain is like worthless. And jangling is talk. They've turned aside unto worthless talk. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this. Now watch it closely. Are you one of those that believe in keeping the law to go to heaven? Well, look what it's made for. Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man. Now hold on. Hold to the passage. We learn Bible truth by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what God said in 1 Corinthians 2:13. Well, let's compare spiritual things with spiritual then. Hold on that passage and go to Romans 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to chapter 3. Holding on to Timothy, chapter 3. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth of those that are under the law may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You know what the law says to you? It says, shut your mouth. It says that when you say, I'm keeping the law, you are lying. Shut up. That's what it says. Every mouth should be stopped. There's no boasting and bragging for those that are under the law. Why? The law condemns them. They're guilty by the law. Yeah, the law says, shut up. Don't tell people that you keep the law and therefore you're good. He said, shut up. For there is none that are good. And he said, there's not a righteous person on earth. There is none righteous, no, not one, and on and on. And yet the righteousness of the law would be yours if you kept it. And you haven't. Nobody did. You know, that's a rip. You ever think about that? Paul wrote this thing in A.D. 60. For 1,560 years, men had had the law. The commandments, the ordinances, they'd had the priesthood, the tabernacle, the temple, all the glory, the whole thing. And after 1,560 years, not one man was righteous by the law. And preachers are telling you today, if you keep the law, you'll go to heaven. They're lying like a dog. You tell me that the Apostle Paul, who said in Philippians chapter 3 concerning the law, blameless, how could he be blameless? By offering the sacrifices required under the law. You tell me that that man, after all his life, had kept the commandments, kept the law, and needed Christ to be saved, and you can be saved without simply trusting Christ, your Lord and Savior, and nothing else? Say, but after you trust Christ, you keep the law. No, Paul said if you trust Christ, you're dead to the law. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore with the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed with the law and the prophet. In other words, we're righteous without the law. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Then God said, the righteousness of Christ, which is the righteousness of God, is yours. Well, then you can't be called unrighteous. We're righteous by faith. And the law is not made for a righteous man. Now go back. Go back, please, to Timothy again. So what's the law for then? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. We know that the law is not... that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless. Now think about it. If you say, I'm keeping the commandments, you say, I'm under the law, if you are in a religious system that teaches you to keep the law, then here's what they are. Here's the Pope and the priest and the bishops and the whole shooting match. The nuns and all the rest, here's what God said about it. Here's the Church of Christ. Here's the Baptists that say that I believe you got to keep the law to be saved. I don't. Here's the whole bunch right here. Look what it said. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. Isn't that a riot? Why then would an individual tell people I'm under the law? I mean, you know what an individual is saying when they say that? I mean, I immediately. Boy, it's a bad character I'm dealing with here. Why? This individual's under the law, and the law was made for lawless, disobedient, ungodly sinners, unholy, profane, murderers, slayers, whoremongers, men stealers, on and on. That's what he said. But then people don't believe what the Bible says, do they? Folks, I've got good news. That's my point. I've got good news. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus Christ died for whores and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and effeminate and on. Jesus Christ died for you. You're a failure. You couldn't save yourself by the law. You couldn't even save yourself by repenting of your sins, being baptized, trusting the Lord, and keeping the commandments. Say, well, the Bible says there are people that are. Yeah, but he didn't say you would. And you know what he's going to do for those that will? He's going to put his spirit in them and make them walk in his commandments. He'll take out the heart of flesh, heart of stone, and put in his spirit and a new heart, he said, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes and my ordinances and do them. But you don't have that power. It ain't happened to you. You see, nothing happened to your heart when you trusted Christ. Nothing happened to your soul. Nothing happened to you physically. God just put on your ledger and to your account the good work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he did in your behalf. True. You experience it by faith in what the ledger said. That is the greatest news I've ever heard. Why would I want to be upset at somebody for preaching to me that the law was done away? Why would I want to get angry with somebody that preached unto me that I couldn't be saved any other way than by faith in Christ? The only answer to that would be because that I had a proud and a haughty spirit about me. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, he said. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The greatest book that ever, there's never been a book to compare with it. It's got all the answers. There's one gospel. That gospel is the gospel of Christ. It's called the gospel of Christ because it's the good news pertaining to what Christ did in your behalf. The gospel of Christ. Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. Jesus Christ became sin for us. The Bible said that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto us. It's called the gospel of Christ because it is descriptive of what Christ did at Calvary for the sinner. Jesus Christ took your cross and went to Calvary bearing your cross. Jesus Christ allowed himself to be nailed as a criminal to your cross. The Bible said he was numbered with the transgressors, and he opened not his mouth as a lamb to the slaughter. He never objected or rejected or whatever. He took your cross and took your crimes upon himself. And he hung there at Calvary with that crown of thorns down on his brow and suffered, bled, and died for your sins. The gospel of Christ. It's called the gospel of Christ because it is descriptive of what he did for the sinner, for the ungodly, for we that are in this room. It's called the gospel of the grace of God because that as a result of what Christ did, God can be gracious unto you. He can be favorable unto murderers, liars, whores, whoremongers, adulterers, and fornicators. Well, God couldn't possibly love a whore. Well, I can show you one he loved. First time I ever saw the truth about Rahab, it, as they say, blew my mind. Did you ever read about that woman? Those spies go to her house, and she took them into her house, three of them. And when the king sent out the army to arrest them, they heard that they were at Rahab's house, and they came there and knocked on the door. Rahab went to the door, and they asked her about them, and she said, no, they came here, but they're gone. They went that away. If you'll run, you can catch them. She's lying. People always say, my word is my bond. Well, I wouldn't admonish you to go around lying, but if the law was after me for something that I wasn't guilty about, and I came running to your house and you let me in there, let me hide under your bed, I'd much rather you lied about it than to say, well, it's scoundrel back down on the bed somewhere. Oh, she lied. And you know what that woman did? She said, I know about y'all. She's a southerner. She said, I heard about your God, how that he opened up the Red Sea and the miracles he performed and all. I know about all that, and therefore he's my God. And she said, I want you to promise me. You see, this whore prophesied some things. You ever think about that? She said, when you come here and destroy this city, I want you to promise me that you'll save me and my family. And they said, okay, we'll do that under one condition. We're going to give you this red string, symbol of the blood of Christ. They didn't tell her that, but they said, you must hang this out your window. And when we come here again, if we see that string hanging out your window, we won't destroy your house. And so here comes Joshua and Israel, and they march around the city every day for 7 days. Inside that city, there are temples. They're in there worshiping their gods, offering their sacrifices to Baal. The priests are doing their things. The preachers are doing their things. All of that going on inside that city. And finally, the wrath struck. Do you realize that the only person saved out of that whole bunch was a whore and her family? And because of her faith,
in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not only was she saved, but her whole house was saved. Come on. What? The household of a woman that was a whore was saved as a result of her faith. And in spite of that truth today,
religious leaders will tell you that you've got to be good before God is going to get.
They say if you get on your knees at an altar and straighten up your life and do away with all your bad stuff and be good, then you're worthy to believe in Christ.
You couldn't be better than the truth you tried.
God can be gracious to anybody in this room. God can save anybody in this room. He does.
As a result of Christ's death at Calvary.
Nothing else. There's anything you can do to gain God's favor except believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you try to do anything other than believe in Him, then you will be under His wrath and not His favor. John chapter 3 verse 16 and John chapter 3 verse 36, second one. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's the person you know. Folks, there's the person you know. Mamas, daddies, cousins, aunts, brothers, sisters, all of them that you know of today, in this area or any other, that will not trespass their blood and say they're under the wrath today. Yesterday, I sat by that man and I talked to him, and another man came in and I heard somebody say, Brother Moore, so and so.
This man walked in and shook hands with me. He's a man that I was seen by thousands in this area on television weekly. This man looks like he's got it made. It looks like he's ahead of the game, folks. You'd think that this man would just be wallowing in rot. You know what? That man's wife is dying of cancer. He has told her to grief. I believe he told me 3 times because they were told that somebody will have a cure for cancer. She's got whatever it is that deteriorates your bones. And this man, after I talked to him, I told him about what I found out and everything, and he began to tell me about it. And I asked him about me going by and visiting her. And he said, Father Moore, she'd love to have you come by and see her. He said, you cannot imagine the strength of this woman, the faith of her, how that she just, he said, she overwhelms me. And that condition, the strength that she's got. And I think about some of us that we're so healthy and so stable and whatever, and we just go around crying and moping and groaning and bellyaching all the time. It's pitiful. And in spite of that, we walk in God's faith.
That's in spite of the fact that you suspended it. You belly as you cry, man and God, and we're still in God's favor. Why you in here, some of you mamas and daddies with children. You've had your children come on you and pester you and cry and tear on, and finally you say, if you don't set that up, I'm going to tell them so you do.
God never says that to you.
You get in the car and we just groan and bellyache and I get out there on Highway 21, flipping the gears and slamming it in the gear. Still in God's favor. That's my favorite woman thing you ever heard of. The human mind can't grasp such a thing. We're so common, we're so accustomed to the idea of being hidden in the mind. Do you love the Lord? Do them. The gospel of Christ, because it describes what Christ did for us, the gospel of the grace of God. Why? Because of what Christ did for us, we walk in the faith of Almighty God. No other gospel. It can't be that. The gospel of kingdom can't be that for you. Those that believe the gospel of kingdom are not in the grace of God. Those that believe the gospel, well, folks, there isn't another gospel in the Bible that'll do that. There's only one gospel in this age. Yet men take another. But Paul said there's not another. He said they have perverted the gospel. And on and on. How they pervert it? By telling people that you must keep the law to be saved. That's what Galatians is about. So what's the matter with all this? You want to be saved? And if you're God as obviously was, then believe against him. And folks, or anything else. If you believe in that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, if you trust in him as your Lord and Savior, that gets you into heaven, you might as well forgive that. You might as well just forget it all and just stop by where you are, because there ain't nobody going there but Christ in the world. That'd be the case. One gospel. Christ died for our sins, his bed and those again. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. All, a ransom for all. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God would have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. Men accepted. Every last person, God gave his son, delivered up his son to die for that person. Not good people, bad people. Are you a bad people? And Christ died for you. Just simply trust him and be done with it. I thank you for being here today.